Hey there, welcome to the Her Freedom Podcast with Natasha Ann Miller, where we shamelessly pursue truth and her. I'm your host, Natasha Ann Miller. I am a wife, mother, mentor, and freedom advocate. Although I wear many hats, I will be the first to say that I am an imperfect woman that is still in process. Yet, I refuse to remain stagnant or fearful when it comes to becoming the best version of myself. Girl, you were created to live in divine freedom, not just seasonally, but every day. Let's discover together what freedom song the Lord is writing over our lives, because her freedom is your freedom. Hello, ladies. Welcome to another episode of the Her Freedom Podcast, a podcast where we shamelessly pursue truth and her. I've been having so much fun as we have been entering into our first season, as we're talking about how to cultivate a lifestyle that is fueled by God's word. And my heart behind even just this season is that I wanted to bring on women who looked like you and me, women who are working towards purpose. They understand that they are imperfect and in need of a savior, yet they are not giving up in their pursuit of becoming the woman and advocate that God has called them to be. And that's why I'm so excited to introduce my special guest. Okay, you guys, I told you I was going to be bringing some amazing, powerful women to come on and share how they uniquely interact with God on a daily basis. So I'm going to introduce our guest. Her name is Miss Priscellis Dominguez. Okay. I love her name. And she is a multi-purposed woman on a mission to live out a full life that includes helping others live connected and consecrated and co-creative lives. She loves Jesus and seeks to know him more and more every day through noticing him in the small and big moments, as well as through the joys and sufferings of our everyday lives. She lives in NYC with her husband and her soon-to-come baby boy in her belly. Woo-woo! She is a native New Yorker whose cultural background hails from the Dominican Republic. Yes, she's a Black Latina who loves to travel and has been to 31 countries so far. She's an entrepreneur, y'all. She is a social worker, a yoga instructor, teacher, a builder, and a coach. She is the founder of the Full Collective, which is a small business and community that is committed to igniting women to live full lives in Jesus. So you guys, I want y'all to virtually welcome and clap if you're driving, if you can. Welcome the beautiful, amazing, talented, gifted Miss Priscellis Dominguez. Welcome, girl.
Hey, y'all. Hey. I'm so, so glad to be here. Hey, everybody.
Yes. And you guys, just to even share a personal story of how I got connected with her. We met through social media. She is such a great coach and creator. And I just happened to be on her social media, and one of her friends shared an event that she was hosting, in regards to meditation in the word and being able to do the spiritual stretching and yoga. And I was able to connect with her that way. And my life was just really, really impacted. So I'm excited to get into this interview and for you guys to learn even more about her and her mission to help women like you and me. So who are you? Like, I know I read your bio and there was some really cool stuff in there, but if you could tell people just, you know, a summary of who you are, how would you put it?
Ooh, yeah. It's so funny whenever people like read your bio out loud, like in front of you, it's like, oh, that's all me. Yeah. I mean, I think when I think of myself, I think of someone who is, I'm simple, but I dream big, right? Like I do love my, I guess you could say, simple life here in New York City. Mm-hmm. Maybe for some people, this wouldn't be considered simple, but I'm a big dreamer and a big advocate for humanity and for people, which is why, you know, I am a social worker, and then also why I created Full Collective, and why I get to do this also in my personal life of just being able to impact people and tell them about Jesus perhaps in a different way that they've received or heard before. Mm-hmm. Because I, you know, for me, I struggled to respond to Jesus for a long time in my life because of how people talked about him or represented him. And so mm-hmm. I think there are just other creative ways that we can reach people. Mm-hmm. And then that also blesses me. That makes me actually closer to God and seeing his different intricacies as a, you know, as a three persons in one. And so, yeah, that's me, you know, a New Yorker, native mm-hmm. New Yorker, Black woman living here, pregnant for the first time, struggling to breathe out here.
So when is your due date?
June 13.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And my first, this is my first pregnancy, my first baby. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a journey. It's been so cool. He recently started kicking, which is really sweet. But yeah, just experiencing new things, even in the middle of a pandemic, mm-hmm. Experiencing new blessings from the Lord. So really grateful.
Yeah. That is so, so, so beautiful. There's nothing like having your first baby. Everything is just so new and so exciting. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just really cool to even just watch you on social media as you celebrate his arrival and seeing you and your husband. I mean, there's just so much excitement around him, and I can't wait to see him. I know he's going to be such a gift, you know, to the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just love even just in sharing a little bit about who you are, how you really are intentional with helping women to see God in their everyday lives. And I think it's so common for us to, you know, even put God in a box in regards to how he wants to communicate with us or how he wants to share his heart with us. And so you did mention that you were not always like in church or walking with God or having that understanding. So when was that moment where it clicked for you personally, where you were like, okay, I want to walk with Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was when I was 23. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the church. Yeah. Interestingly enough, the church I grew up in didn't really talk about salvation and giving like Jesus as savior. So I didn't really know even that idea or concept until as a teenager that I went to another church that my friend invited me to. And it was a Pentecostal church. So, you mm-hmm. know, yeah. already. and I guess I did give my life to Jesus then, but I can't tell you I remember what that experience was like, or even how I was living for Christ in that time. Like, I don't really remember any of that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it really wasn't that experience. It was later on after I lived and I was in the world and I called Jesus mm-hmm. universe and all the things. If you could think of anything, I was doing all the things.
Yeah.
And then I started dating my now husband mm-hmm. and he was still going to church when we started dating. And I would kind of make fun of him. Like, you still do that church thing. And, but he would invite me, he would graciously, like, you know, take the joke and still invite me. And I had a whole bunch of friends too that were inviting me. I'm like, since when are y'all Christian? Like, it was just really interesting how the way the Lord was running after me around the people that I was with. And so then I finally said yes, cause I honestly was like tired of getting invited. It wasn't actually by anything supernatural. I just was like really annoyed at the point. So I said yes. And 15 minutes in like the service during like a worship song, I just like fell, got on my knees and like was bawling, crying, and just gave my life to Jesus. And all I hear was welcome back. You know, like that's all I heard from him, like welcome back, daughter. And I haven't looked back since. If you know me, whenever I'm in something, I'm in it. So yeah. I, you know, just started becoming dedicated to like what that looks like in my life. A year later, I got water baptized. I worked for a few churches since then. So just have been really focused on, you know, not making this a part of my life, but my life. Yeah. And yeah, it's been a journey. Not every day is, you know, joyful and beautiful, but every day I do encounter Jesus in it. And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful way of explaining just how the Lord really kind of captured your heart. Cause I think we all have those stories, especially when you're raised in church and you go to the altar at like 5, 6 years old and you're like, right. Jesus, come into my heart. And then for me, I'm sure there were like many times, you know, before I turned 16 where I would go to the altar all the time because I would feel like I was backsliding and I was like, let me go back. But there was that defining moment where I believe, you know, every person like ultimately has that really shifts their whole perspective. It's like, man, okay, no, I really see that he is pursuing me. Mm-hmm. So I love that how you're even, you know, saying that, hey, like, I don't want to just integrate him in my business or integrate him in my work, but I want it to be a part of our lives. And that is like so important, because I know for me, there have been times to where, especially being a mother and balancing and managing all these different things, to where, you know, I enjoy my time with Jesus. You know, when you're a single person, it's just like, oh, it's glory and it's glorious. But then when you have all these responsibilities and all these needs, and you're, you know, trying to figure out, hey, you know, is it cool for me and Jesus to sit here and talk as I'm making dinner, as I'm in the car, like knowing that, hey, those can still be full experiences. So what inspired you to step out and create this community called the Full Collective? Because even when I look at this, you know, community and business, like in ministry, I see that there's so many different branches to it, mm-hmm. to where you really are focusing on the whole woman. Yeah. So how was the beginning process of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was about 3 years ago, actually. So I would say it was two things. It was definitely like God just leading me and me mm-hmm. saying yes. Mm-hmm. So I felt like the Lord was saying, start a Bible study. Not from affiliated to a church, just start a Bible study. Contact, you have friends, you know, in New York City that are women. And so I contacted 20 women and I was like, hey, I'm going to do this summer Bible study. Are you in? This is what it's going to involve. And 15 said yes. And we got started. And I honestly didn't really know, like, it would become something. I was just saying yes to the ministry, right? Like to the season of the Bible study that I thought was going to be a season. Mm-hmm. And the plan was at the end of it that we would have like a mini retreat in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And as the summer passed, like it turned out that some women couldn't like go. They're like, oh, I might not be able to make it. So I was just like, oh, this sucks. Like, and then I was like, okay. And I prayed about it and the Lord was like, open it. And so like mm-hmm. open it as into other people. And so I made like this, I call it now raggedy one page PDF, because in comparison to like my website, it is very raggedy. And so I made this one page PDF of like what the retreat would include and what it looks like. And I posted it out there and it got sold out in like one day. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Yeah. And so I prayed about it more. And then I just started like, I just had this like this one moment, like this one day where I just saw like all these ideas were coming. Mm-hmm. And it was really beautiful and exciting for me, because before that, I'd actually worked at a church for about a year. And it wasn't really a healthy place to work at. And what's interesting is that I kind of stopped like dreaming when I was there. I kind of stopped thinking I was a creative person. I kind of stopped using certain gifts of mine. And so in some ways became dormant or non-existent. Mm-hmm. And so that moment, like went with the Lord in like just planning things, just all these dreams came out, all this creativity that I never thought I had. Like, I only thought creatives were like people who played like instruments and like stuff like that. Like, I had all these creative ideas and I was like, thank you, Jesus. And so I just got real excited and I am a planner. So I loved that part. I was able to do that well. And I just started planning things. I planned a retreat to my motherland, Dominican Republic. And all the retreats since then, you know, have been sold out. And then I started doing more, you know, local things as well, just because not everyone can travel, whether it's because immigration reasons or because they're, you know, a new mom or whatever, or finances, whatever it is. I wanted to also create spaces locally. So especially in New York, I would create opportunities for like brunches and Bible studies and book clubs and day retreats and yoga classes. So it involved just a lot of different things, but the focuses were gatherings and retreats, and then also resources and tools. That was like the social worker in me, like wanting to like, even if you don't live in New York, even if you can't travel, you can still have access to something in this ministry. And then ultimately I wanted also a space that was like multifaceted, that was just diverse. Unfortunately, I think, I'm sure it exists, but I see a lot of like ministries be very like either age oriented or culture oriented. So I didn't really see a ministry that had like a variety and balanced amount of like Latina, Asian, white, and Black women. Like, it was always predominantly one group. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think there's any problem with that. I think that naturally happens. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to create a space where it was a lot of different people. I'm from New York. I went to high school with like 80% Korean people. I'm Dominican. Wow. I'm Black. You know, I have white friends in my life. And so I wanted a space where it also involved different voices and different experiences. And so that's what the Lord helped me create. And, you know, last year I adjusted, right? We had 10 retreats planned. We went to 2 because it was before the pandemic. So we went to Mexico and Colombia last year in January and February, but 8 other ones we had to cancel. And so I adjusted and I prayed and planned with the Lord, and he gave me awesome ideas. He was like, cool, we can do this, but we can do this. Yeah. So it's been really fun to just like plan with the Lord. I think more than anything, we have to realize when we create with God. When we create things, when we think we create things without God, it's not going to go anywhere. Mm. But when we actually create things with God, we can place our burdens to him when difficult moments come up in a ministry or things like that. And it's also, it gives him glory. And ultimately, it was his idea. He just like is like lending it to us for a time while we're here on earth. So it's been a joy. I love, you know, being able to do it. It can become difficult working full time with the population I work and being a wife and all this stuff. But, you know, I try to make time for it and balance it out. And you know, do to the capacity that I can do. So
Oh my gosh, girl, you are dope. I mean, I think what's really cool is just hearing the process and the journey of this being birthed. Because I think, like, even in our world today, you know, our society is just like not everyone, but it's easy to just do a quick start or to just put something out just because you're feeling rushed to or feeling like, if I don't do this, you know, I'm going to be looked at as being lazy or all these different things. And I love when I get to talk to women who are creating things, yet they are in rhythm with the leading of the Holy Spirit, because I feel like there's such a major impact that comes with that. Because I know, like, you know, my husband and I, we've been able to create, you know, the One University and create momentum in the digital marketing space together. But just even for me stepping out in the last, like I would say in the last year, and really allowing myself to dream with God for Natasha, it has released, it has revealed even some fears and insecurities of like, oh my gosh, I built this with my husband. Usually when I'm doing interviews, my husband is here and like, we're doing it together. And I've had to really let go and be like, okay, Lord, like the dream that you placed inside of me, what you're showing me, I can't do it, you know, by myself first. My husband isn't called to fulfill that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is something that I'm co-creating with you.
Yeah.
And how you were saying that you gave God your yes by just simply him telling you, hey, I want you to do a Bible study. Mm-hmm. And instead of getting all technical of like, let me, you know, I think now it's like, oh, let me set up a landing page. Let me get a graphic. Let me announce it to the world. It's like, you know what? Let's do this in hiding, in a sense, to where you're moving within your community. And I think like God is wanting to bring us back to that place of like, why are we here? We're not here just to be on social media and for people to like us. We're here to make impact, you know, in our homes, impact in our communities, impact with the women that we're connected with. And I love how it started out so organically, and to see the fruit of it, it's so pure. Like from your pictures to the women that gather, there's so many different ages, so many different cultures, races, yet there's just common thread of sisterhood and trust. So you've done such a beautiful job with that, with allowing the Lord to lead you.
Thank you. Yeah. So, and I think people,
you're good.
People, it's really important, like what you said about organically and people around us. Cause I remember like often people have been like, wow, it's like grown so much. And like, the Lord has really blessed you. I'm like, absolutely. Yes. All those things. But I started and I continue to serve also the people that are in my life. Yeah. Most of the women that are do anything in relation to Full Collective are also women in my life, right? And every once in a while, there are women outside of that that I maybe have never met, which is super amazing and dope. But it's also a way that I get to minister to the women in my life in a way that's beyond conversation or beyond just like hanging out. Yeah. So it's really realizing like, we're called to minister to the people around, especially if your ministry that God is calling you to has to do with some people in your life. Like, obviously, I don't have to do with none of the men in my life. Right. So I get to serve them in other ways. But, you know, like being able to acknowledge that it's the people that's around you. It's not, I'm not necessarily like trying to like serve someone across the world, even if I can reach them. Thankfully, I will one day. But like who's in front of me and who's around me. And that's like who we're meant to serve, you know, and yes, at church, but beyond church. Right. Yes. Like, we our friends should not be only Christian people, right? Like being able to reach people in different ways. And that's, we get to do that through naturally through our life. It actually is easier than we think.
It is. Because I was even talking to my husband like a few months ago, just even in regards to us, like our church is located in the city. So we're about like 45 minutes away. So for me, you know, I have like a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they're, you know, building community in their own way with like the kids that they interact with. And for me, I found myself just naturally even leaning into those friendships, you know, with their friends' mothers, you know, and for me, it was just like, oh, well, we all go to different churches, some believe, some don't believe. And it's like even giving yourself permission to entertain that and be like, man, you know, she can be inspired by how I live my life and I can be inspired by how she lives her life, and knowing that, hey, like my way is not the only way. And I think it makes us more vibrant, more open, more sensitive to the needs of people when we just don't focus in on ourselves. So I want to get into, I know that I had mentioned how I got connected with you in regards to the meditation and yoga, you know, class that you did. And I know that we had briefly talked about just like even in the Christian community that it has kind of like this stigma on it. And I know that you are a certified yoga instructor, you love Jesus, and you incorporate this into your resources. So if you could help just the regular Christian woman that maybe has fears in regards to doing yoga, like how it really can be used to glorify God and to help you with scripture and help you with being still.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's such a tough conversation because, you know, I definitely get some interesting comments and DMs. I'm gonna say interesting to not use a worse word. you know, but it's people have all different kinds of opinions. And I, you know, I'm very aware of like the realities of things that are demonic and things that are witchcraft and things like that. But then I also am aware that like I have witnessed women who both love Jesus and don't know Jesus, meet Jesus in a profound way on their yoga mat. And it's just, yoga is just an example of something that we can do and that we, you know, we can use for the glory of God and benefit of God. Because the reality is that people want to differentiate it. But when you're at church and you're on your knees or your hands are raised, you are doing yoga. Because those are yoga poses. When you're that's a yoga pose. That's tree pose.
You're
when
like you're on knees,
that's a yoga pose. When you have your hands together in prayer, that is a yoga pose. Laying hands on people, right? That is a yoga pose when it comes to like community yoga. So I think it's realizing that you're actually already doing it. It's just the intention, right? So the spaces I create is with the intention to glorify God. It is not with perhaps the original intention of yoga of like being centered and checking in with yourself and chakras and all that. I don't talk about any of that in my classes. I talk about Jesus. I read scripture. I pray. And I play worship. And that's all that's in my classes. Even with like the names of the yoga classes, of the yoga poses, for the most part, people don't really know them unless they're like yogi. So I don't even say the names. I just like lead people into that movement. And I always connect every movement, every posture to something when it comes to God or what they can be doing. Right. Or what, or where they can connect with the Lord with. And like I said, I witnessed, in the studio that I was in last year before the world closed, we were having classes in person, and the owner of the studio came to one of my first classes, and she does not believe in Jesus at all. And the first class she came to, sis was crying, bawling, like tears, right? And I'm also touch certified. So my yoga involves like, not that I change what you're doing or I adjust, but I like touch in some ways of like massage and support. So I went over to her like to touch. And I usually actually only do that when the Holy Spirit leads me to touch someone too. And, you know, I talked to her after and she just was like, she said, hallelujah. And I was like, yes, hallelujah.
Because ain't no demon going to say that, right? Ain't no demon going to say hallelujah.
Exactly. And she was just like, I've never experienced something like that before. Like, that was so profound, so healing for me. And I just connected God with God in a way. And I had only previously heard her say gods and things like that. So something like that, right? But then also, obviously, Christian women who have come to my classes who experience healing, who experience God showing them that he loves their body and that they get to love their body too, just as it is. And so there's such beautiful breakthrough that actually comes from offering our bodies to God. We often do it very much with our hearts, sometimes with our minds, but not very often with our bodies, right? And the Lord is asking, he's like, I want you to love me with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart, and with also all your body, right? That we will have our bodies will be an offering to him. And so that's what it gets to be. It gets to be a space where we get to worship God creatively. Because the reality is too, depending how long you've been a Christian, you know, you have to change up how you pray or change up how you worship. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing, because if we become so used to a way of doing something, it actually might become in a way like robotic versus like intimate with the Lord. Cause it's like, I just raise my hands cause that's what I see everyone else doing. And that's what I've known always to do. But as you're raising your hands, actually reminding you that he is more and he is larger and he deserves all the worship? Or is it just you physically just raising your hands cause that's what you're used to? Yeah. So it invites us to a place of like being so aware of what our body can do to worship God. And to love ourselves in the body that God has given us. And so I've been changed by it. And so the ministry I got certified is a Christian ministry. So it's not like they didn't teach me like any like, you know, yoga stuff that I'm not trying to know about. Right. And also I have tried to learn about certain yoga things because I think it is important to know historically about certain things so we can be aware. Right. Of what we're around. I remember I was going to teach at a yoga studio in Harlem. And I did teach one class and there was a lot of idols around. And the class, it went well, it went out fine. But I acknowledge that I can't teach in that space again. Right. So it's also knowing like, yes, there are portions of this thing that exists that is not of God. Right. But we get to set our intentions to the Lord. Yoga itself means to unify. And so we get to unify with the Holy Spirit in this time and glorify him in a new, different way, right? And it's also so good for our bodies.
Mind.
Yes.
Like it allows that free movement to where, I mean, even in your class, it was just like, hey, you don't have to do it perfectly. If you can't do this pose, you know, do what comes naturally to you. And even just as you're talking, I just keep hearing the word redeem. You know, I think it's like we've been so scared to take back, you know, things that ultimately were created by God, but it's been perverted or maybe, you know, and I think too of just even with our generation, we're at a place of like, you know what, we're not afraid to rediscover and look at something that maybe was deemed bad by the generation before us because they maybe were too afraid or, you know, to research it. And I think too of just, I remember when I went to my first yoga session, we were like on like the top of this building overlooking the city and they had like earphones where you could move, like you could hear the music like individually and then hear the guy talking. And I remember like, yeah, he was saying things, but my mind wasn't even on that. I was thinking about the Lord and really focusing on that. And I think like yoga even helps you to train your mind and to train your spirit to submit, you know what I mean, to the word of God and to what he's doing. So thank you for breaking that down and just showing us that there are, you know, multiple ways to connect with God. And if this is a way that you're interested in connecting with God, you know, I would encourage my listeners to connect with women who are doing it, who believe the Bible, who have the Holy Spirit, who believe that Jesus is God, all those different types of things, so that you're not entering into something that could be, you know, faulty.
There's a lot of, actually a lot of Christian yogis out there. So people go to holyyoga.com.
Okay.
Actually all the instructors across the country, I think across actually the world, is listed there. So definitely, really? You know, yeah, I should be there. I mean, if you put the state you're in or put like your zip code, you know, and I'm sure most are doing like virtual stuff nowadays, but you know, like it's obviously not in, if you're in your local yoga studio, they may not have
right
a Christian yoga class. And so I think that's important too, like what you're saying, like it is, I think it's wise to know where we are in our walk.
Yes.
If you are easily influenced or something, like, you know, other spirits easily influence you, perhaps don't go to a regular yoga class, because maybe you don't have the strength yet to be able to just focus on the Lord in that space. But if you can, sure, as well, right? Yeah. So it's just really knowing yourself and knowing also like the purpose of what you want to go in there for. If you start worshiping though, and you know, start speaking in tongues, a regular yoga class might be like, what's she doing? So maybe don't go to that space. Go to a Christian yoga class where they're just like,
you'd be like, yeah. Because I mean, even for myself, like it's taught me how to just trust my body versus like work against it, you know, of just like, hey, because I'm also in like therapy and she's also certified in like movement and all of that to release like trauma. And she did a class where she invited me and literally it was just, we were just like dancing and it felt good to just let go and just be, and then as well as come back and refocus on, man, like I am a daughter of God. I'm strong. I'm capable. You know what I mean? He's with me. So what are some, like, even just with sharing like what you do and how you incorporate this into your ministry and business, what are some practical tips that you could give like some of my listeners who maybe they don't understand how to connect a meditation in the word, right? And like, you know, kind of showing us, okay, what can we start out doing? Maybe doing like a 5 to 10 minute, you know, meditation and stretching. What would you recommend?
Yeah. So I think for the most part, it's really just making room for what works for you. Mm-hmm. So in the more every morning, for example, I wake up and I go to this YouTube channel called Dappy Keys, and it's piano music and just scripture on the screen. Mm-hmm. Not very distracting, like a basic background and piano playing in the background. And sometimes I move to that, but most times I just sit and like look at the scripture and breathe in and out deeply, more intention with my breath, and meditate on that word. And not in the like, I want to be theologically sound and I want to look at a commentary way. I think that's important, but meditation, I don't think is for that. I think it's actually for the Holy Spirit to really tell us what he's trying to say in that word to us in that moment. So it's finding different ways and different moments to do that. Honestly, also, even if you have to like add it to your calendar or to your Google calendar or your day-to-day thing, like from 12 to 12:30, this is what I'm going to do. Because the reality is spiritual practices, these ways of connecting deeper with God, just like anything else, will slip us if we aren't intentional about the time, right? Yeah. So like, for example, I have like a sheet every day. It's actually like one of my notepads. It says I'm finna.
Yeah.
Like a to-do list, really, but I do it each night before the next day. And I pick out when at what point in my day, especially if I feel maybe I can do it in the morning, at what point in my day will there be intentional time outside of Bible study and prayer? Will I sit and meditate on the word of God? Will I perhaps move a little bit? And so I think it's really doing that. And the thing is too, is like, we can get distracted and we can get bored. And so have grace for yourself. Like, just because if the first few times you get bored in the first 10 minutes, that doesn't mean that you're not into it, or that doesn't mean that like you're too distracted, or, you know, you have an issue. Like, it's just you're a human being.
Yeah.
So many things that we're thinking about at once. So I always remind people that, like, give yourself grace. Like, if you get distracted, come back. It's okay. Yeah. If you get, as many times as you get distracted, come back. Okay. Every single time. Mm. The Lord is waiting for you every single time. And so, yeah. And then, and if also you find it hard, look up some meditations, right? I have meditations on my podcast. There's other Christian meditation on podcasts and on YouTube, and those are guided by someone else, right? So maybe you start by someone else doing it for you, and then eventually you can guide yourself through a meditation, or a practice of yoga. But really it's like trying to find, acknowledge that there's supposed to be no pressure and it's supposed to really be simple, but a portion of your day. Yeah. So, you know, if it's simple to just like lay down and scroll through Instagram and I'm not comparing it, but it's like, it's that you can easily do that. You can also easily meditate on the word of God. And you will realize like how beautiful, how calming, how healing it can be and is, especially with no agenda. I love that Cody Carnes, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but the song where he's saying like, we're sorry when we come to you with an agenda. Like that's the reality, right? Like come to the Lord with no agenda. Sometimes I don't know what scripture is going to come up on that YouTube channel when I put it on, right? So I don't come with an agenda. I simply come open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say and do in that time. And sometimes I cry, and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I do it quickly, and sometimes I linger in it for longer. But giving ourselves grace that it doesn't have to look the same every single day or every single time.
I love it. You hear that, ladies? These are some really cool practical tips that we can apply to our everyday life. And I think, like, you know, the key focus is really just being intentional, you know, being intentional with it, and just marking that time out. And I love how you were just saying, like, maybe you're not into it the first time. Cause I know for me, I'll be like, my mind, like, God, maybe this ain't what you want me to do, cause I should be all up in it right here. But it's just like, no, it's like, we have to train and discipline ourselves to know to make this a priority and have a value system for it in our lives. So thank you for those tips. I would love, you know, for you to, like, as we end this interview, like, share if there is an encouraging word that you want to give, or just from our conversation, if there's something that you would want my listeners, you know, to leave with, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, so much, but I would say, I think there's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of also voices and opinions and thoughts. And I think for the body of Christ and for women in general, and women in the faith, it's really in some ways, like, it can be distracting for us that we're like, we're intaking all these different voices, including the voice of God. And so I would encourage us to, like, take an inventory, right? Take an inventory. What voices are in my head right now? Like, what, who am I listening to? What am I watching? What am I intaking? Because the constant narrative that I've been hearing for at least the past, like, year, 2 years, for a lot of women is feeling stuck in their faith or in their purpose or in their walk or in their life, feeling unloved if, like, they're single or struggling in marriage, like, just a lot of lies, right? Like, women believing a lot of lies. But I think it's because it comes from so many different things that are we're just intaking and really agreeing with and accepting. And I think it's time for us, like, to take our freedom back, right? To take the truth back, that there is only one truth, and we have to check inventory in ourselves of what truths we are believing with, and what truths we're aligning ourselves with. Because the reality, lies actually become truths if they sit in us long enough. And, like, kind of like in the idea of, like, so I'm a social worker with trauma, like, a trauma can actually evolve and become a completely different narrative if never really looked at and addressed. So it can become actually bigger than it actually was if never looked at and addressed. So this idea of just, like, inventory, right? If you're checking inventory, I know I'd be trying to check inventory in my cabinets, in my kitchen, because I'm like, when did I buy this? This needs to go out of the garbage. I've never ate this, right? but it's taking up space. When we think of like inventory in our kitchen, it's things that are taking up space that don't need to take up space anymore. And so we have the power to be able to like remove those things, right? Through prayer, through meditation, right? Yeah. Through really meditate. That's the power of meditating on the word of God. What we're doing is meditating on truth and combating any lie that is wanting to linger within us and build within us. And so, just wanting to be women that live out truth and also speak truth. Because when we live out truth, right, and when we're cleansed of lies, then we will also speak truth to others, to ourselves, to people, you know, publicly, if we have a platform. And I think that's just so important, because there's just so much information out there and so many lies that is detrimental. I was actually hearing a sermon the other day of like, we call the devil a liar, right? Like it is what he is. He is the father of lies. But in some ways we're like accepting a part of him within us when we also believe lies and when we allow lies to spread. And so it's like, if we want to be women of God, we have to like cancel all the things, right? If you want to talk about cancel culture, cancel the enemy and all his lies. And so, I would leave that, you know, that encouragement of just like, we get to live in truth and we get to dismantle and unlearn lies. No matter where they've come from, maybe they've come from your family, maybe they've come from your culture, your church, your experiences, whatever it may be, but we get to live in truth, because that's where, you know, that's where freedom is. And that's where God meets us.
God meets us. That's just so good. I feel like I know that your words of encouragement, you know, definitely prick the hearts of each and every woman that's listening, to remind us to come back to the Father, to come back to that place of truth that comes from his word, that comes from being in his presence. And even just as women rising up and being like, I know that just even in, you know, the Christian community, there is a picture of what a woman is supposed to be and how they're supposed to act and everything. But I think too of not trying to fit into a box that God hasn't designed for you, to where God is so multifaceted, is like, we all can still, of course, keep the principles and, you know, walk in truth according to his word. But he also wants us to be ourselves, and he wants us to be able to go on to that journey with him so that he can unlock and show you, here's what I placed inside of you. Here's what I didn't place inside of you. Here's what you don't have to compromise in. Here's what you got to let go of. And I think that just a lot of us women are feeling just like in the middle of this identity crisis. Like, it really is. And I think that's something that we're even behind this podcast is like, I want to remove the shame from like still figuring it out. You know what I mean? And learning that, man, like I am a masterpiece, but I'm in process, and I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do things that may, you know, I wish I didn't do, but it still does not disqualify me from God's grace. It doesn't disqualify me from walking in what he's created me to walk into. So thank you for sharing that. And I believe that, yes, God wants us to walk in that greater level of freedom unashamedly. Because
the word of God says it. Like, there's constant examples of people who like fall short and mess up and sin all the time. And like, I'm still going to use you for these greater things. Like when we read Hebrews, all those people who were faithful, all those faithful people also were wilding, also were sinning, also were doing crazy stuff, right? Like it's all, you know, he's forgiving and present with us, and he wants and he wants to be a part of our inventory process, right? He wants community to be, y'all, doing your own inventory is not an easy thing. It brings pain and cries and stuff. So bring other people in, bring friends, pastors, you know, family, your husband, whoever, you know, that can help you in that process, because our freedom, you know, so I heard this, like this quote is like, our freedom is tied together, right? Like it really does involve other people. And so we get to do it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Amen. 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 Okay, guys, I know that y'all were extremely blessed by this episode, and you're probably like, I need some more. I need some more. Okay. So I want my dear sister to share how you all can get connected with her. I would love for you guys to just go to her social media, go to her website, purchase, support, pray for, and just help encourage her as she's on this journey of helping women like you and me live a fuller life. So, sis, how can they stay in contact with you?
Yes, thank you, girl. So my Instagram, my personal Instagram is my first name, which is spelled P-R-I-C-L-I-S-P. And then it's a D for Dominguez. And then also We Are Full, which is my ministry's Instagram. So we.r.full. And the same thing with the website. So priscellispd.com, wearefullcollective.com. And then I have a podcast called Yas and Amen. Yes. So not yes and amen. Yas. So Y-A-S and Amen. And there's meditations there on a whole bunch of different topics, and they vary from 10 to 15 minutes. So if that's where you want to start, you know, that's a good place. And that's on Spotify and on Apple.
Apple. Yes, you guys. I actually was listening to your most recent episode after dropping my girls off.
Yes.
And it was really good about purity culture and holiness. So I got to finish that. It was dope. Okay, you guys. So I will definitely be putting all of the deets in the show notes so that you guys can just click on there. She also talked about some websites and different resources to help you get connected with other women who are doing similar things to her. But you guys, thank you so much for joining me. Please don't forget to subscribe and share with your family and friends if you feel as though this episode will be a form of encouragement. Make sure to follow my girl, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Her Freedom Podcast today. I don't take it lightly that you took the time to listen in. I pray that you were encouraged and reminded that you are not alone. Please don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, family, or anyone who you feel would be blessed by this episode. Feel free to follow me on Instagram at Natasha Ann Miller, or you can go to my website, natashaannmiller.com, to stay connected. I look forward to hanging out with you in the next episode. And remember that her freedom is your freedom.